In our last message, we were noticing the parable of the Great Supper and the excitement that there was of having a banquet invitation, and yet the fact that so many refused that invitation. And the great man who had the feast, who had this banquet, then tells his servants, go everywhere and invite all to come in. Even invite the lame, invite those who are impoverished, invite those who aren't desirable as far as society is concerned, but invite them all in because I want my house to be filled. What a picture of the gospel invitation, an invitation by the great King, our God himself, and how he invites sinners to come and how he desires sinners to be with him. And what a picture of salvation itself, a time of joy, of feasting, of happiness, of fellowship. And that's the gospel message that God here wants to give to the sinner, that which he cannot earn himself, and that Christ has died on the cross in order that he might be saved. Now today we read in Luke 15, beginning with verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were gathering together to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The parable of the lost sheep. It's the first of these three parables the Lord is telling about things that are lost. And in this one, I think we can say the helplessness of the lost is emphasized. All of these parables are actually a defense for what Jesus was doing. He was mingling with common people, with people that didn't have the best reputation. He welcomed those who came from the lower strata of society, tax collectors who were hated because they were just hired by the Roman government, basically. And the Jews felt they were turncoats. Here they were being employed by the Roman government to pick up taxes. And often they were dishonest in it because they'd get a percentage of the tax. So they were hated and despised. And then the others that were sinners, that were known to be just at the bottom edge of society. Jesus welcomed people like that to come. And the self-righteous, the religious people, were very indignant. They said, well, why does he have anything to do with those no-good people? And then he tells them this parable of a man who has 100 sheep. One of them gets lost. Then he leaves the 99, perhaps in the care of a servant, and he goes out himself and he searches high and low, looking over the hills and the mountains, looking for that sheep that wandered away. And finally he finds it. He puts it on his shoulders. He carries it home. He calls his neighbors and friends and he says, look, I want you to be happy. I want you to rejoice with me. I had this sheep that was lost and now it's found. And the joy he has over finding that one sheep that was lost. We all like to find lost things, don't we? If you've lost something and then you find it, that's exciting. I was out in our yard the other day, and my wife had lost a paring knife, one of her better paring knives some time ago. She didn't know where it was, and I just happened to find it. A little bit the worse for wear, but nevertheless, we had it back. This paring knife that was lost, we'd found it. And so it is. There's joy in finding something which is lost, especially if it has value. And to a shepherd, sheep were very valuable. And in those days, sheep were a source of wool, of course, for clothing. And they were a source of food. And it was the livelihood of the man. So they had real value. Now, this parable, we can say, certainly, the Lord Jesus is the shepherd. They were accusing him of eating with people who were sinners. Here he uses this parable to illustrate his attitude towards sinners. He's the good shepherd. In John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And Jesus said, I care enough for people that I'm willing to die for them. And he was predicting his death from the beginning of his ministry, predicting the fact that he would be crucified and buried, and that he would rise again on the third day. So he said, I'm willing even to lay down my life. I'm willing to go through terrible suffering, through terrible pain. I'm willing to do that because I care enough for my people, for the sheep. Now, of course, the sheep are people. Maybe not a very flattering description of us, and yet, in some ways, not too bad a figure either, because there are some things very attractive about sheep. But certainly you have to say they're very helpless, and there's a tendency to get lost. And this is what happened here with this sheep. I remember one year we lived on the property of a man who had some sheep. And so easily frightened and so quick to get lost. Out in the western states, where there are large sheep herds, there will always be a shepherd with them. You don't see a man staying with cattle. They let them just run loose. But sheep need a shepherd. They need someone to watch them, someone to guard them, someone to protect them, someone to defend them. They're so helpless. What a picture of us. Now, actually, of course, the scripture goes on in other places to say all of us are lost. Here he says the one that was lost, because he's emphasizing here the fact that many of them thought they were not lost. These Pharisees, these self-righteous religious people, we would say they're good today, they would be good church people, felt no need. They said, we're good. We are done what the law says as far as ritual and ceremony, and we're trying to live fairly moral lives, externally at least. We are good. We don't need any salvation. We don't need to be found. We're not lost. We're not lost. But we know very well that other scriptures point out very strongly that we're all lost. The truth of the matter was all 100 sheep were lost. But here he's speaking to people. There's a crowd around him, and a lot of these people think we're not lost. We're good. We don't need this message that he's giving. I remember a man once telling me, we were working in one of the southern states, and he said to me, he said, it's fine for you to do that work down there. He said, those people really need it. But he said, up here we don't. We're good church people. Good church people. He was as lost as any of them. But he was self-righteous. He was complacent. He was blind. But here Jesus says, listen, I'm concerned for those that are lost. And if you're self-righteous today and you think you're good and you don't need help, I'm sorry, but Jesus can't help you. He's only come for sinners. The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost. Are you lost? In Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he emphasizes here, in that scripture, the lostness of all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us is utterly lost, and we need to be found. Well, thank God the shepherd is seeking, and he's seeking for you today if you're lost. Maybe you're a religious person. Maybe you can say, well, I belong to church. Maybe you can say, well, I've been baptized, and perhaps you can say, I've been confirmed, and you may say, I try to be a pretty good husband or a pretty good wife, and you can tell me many, many things that you've done that you think are good. I'd like to say to you, the Bible says you're lost. You're on your way to hell, just as much as if you'd been out getting yourself drunk the other night, just as much as if you were a wife beater.
Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you discover you're lost, we're glad to tell you of a shepherd who's seeking for you, who's looking for you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's always a picture of God. You remember when man and woman, Adam and Eve, first sinned in the Garden of Eden, the picture you have of God is that he comes seeking and calling and saying, "Where are you, Adam?" And God's doing that today for you. He loves you. He cares for you. That's the attitude of the shepherd here. He was willing to sacrifice himself for you. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and suffered indescribable agonies in order that you might be saved. What a sacrifice. How self-giving. Now, we expect sheep to die for the shepherd. We slaughter lambs, and they're sold as meat. What an anomaly, really, it is, that here the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But that's the heart of our God. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus. Yes, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. How wonderful that we know his love. And then it certainly emphasizes, too, as the shepherd, once you accept him, once you are saved, here is a shepherd who has tremendous love for you, tremendous concern for you. He will never neglect you. He'll be with you. I'm so thankful for his devotion. We're wayward. Even after we come to know the Lord, we are prone to wander, as one of the hymns put it, prone to wander. And yet the shepherd is constantly watching over us, caring for us, concerned for us. I'm so glad he's my shepherd. I'm glad years ago I accepted the Lord Jesus. He came looking for me, and when I heard his voice, and when I knew I was so lost, I'm so thankful for that day when I accepted him as my Savior. And since then, to know his protection, he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Are you one of the found sheep, watched over by the good shepherd? I hope you are.